As a person who's interested in body language, you're going to have to start taking an interest in what other people are doing. You're going to have to start observing them and watching them. And so let me give you a quick list of things you can look for that are going to tell you some major emotions for people. Let's look at anger. What would anger look like on somebody? Well, there'd be a vertical crease between their eyebrows. Their eyebrows would be down and pulled inward. Their nostrils will be flaring. Their body will probably be moving forward. Their hands will probably be clenched in fists. And their lips will be tightly pursed. And perhaps the corners of their mouths will be pointing downward. Now, not all of these will exist when they're angry, but if you see a few of these signs, you can bet you're dealing with an angry person. What about fear? How do people show fear? Well, the shoulders are hunched. The mouth may be slightly opened. You can see the furrow of the forehead. In other words, the forehead's a little wrinkled. The eyebrows are raised. And if you see these signs, you know you're dealing with someone who is afraid. What about sadness? What does that look like? Well, the shoulders hunch forward and the back is relaxed. They're not really relaxed, but the back is kind of slouched. So it's easy to mistake it for a relaxed posture. Their lips may be quivering. Their mouth at the corners is down. Face appears to be limp. And the eyebrows are raised, but it's the inner part of the eyebrows that are raised. There may be tears in their eyes. Some of these things are obvious, but some of them you may overlook. So if you see these signals, a few of them together, you know you're dealing with a sad person. Surprise, what does that look like? Well, the eyebrows are curved. They're elevated and they're curved. Their shoulders are raised. Their jaw has often dropped. You know the old expression, his jaw dropped. Well, that happens when people are surprised. Because the eyebrows are raised, there can be wrinkles on the forehead. Happiness, what does that look like? Well, the body is often moving in a forward direction. And the lower eyelids are elevated a little bit. Did you know you have lower eyelids? You know you have upper eyelids that close, but your lower eyelids can close a little bit also. So those are elevated. And in the traditional smile, the corners of the mouth are raised. And there may be teeth showing, if they're really happy. And their cheeks are raised as well. Now, sometimes people are telling you things that you really should be paying attention to because they indicate that the person's not being honest with you. And believe it or not, some people will look you right in the eye when talking to you. Other people will look away. Generally, the people who look you in the eye and tell you a lie are really a challenge to pick out. But if you see someone unable to look directly at you, and this happens consistently, while they're telling you a story, they're unable to look at you in the eye, well, you can probably put one and one together and figure out that they're lying. Also, for whatever reason, people who are lying tend to rub their eyes quite a bit, so look for that as well. If someone is holding their hand to their face while they're talking, especially if they're displaying some of these other lying type actions, you can add that to the list of evidence that they are probably not telling you the truth. Sometimes liars are so deceptive that rather than covering their mouths, they'll touch their nose because they realize that when they cover their mouth, it's a little obvious. Okay, I'm covering my mouth. They're probably going to know that I'm saying something that I shouldn't. They're so deceptive that they'll touch their nose instead. What are people who are deceiving you also do? They'll smile when they don't really mean it. They'll fake a smile. But you need to be able to figure out what's a real smile and what's a fake smile. Well, a real smile really gets the face involved. The face loves to smile. The eyes get involved. All the things happen when you're happy that I told you about a few moments ago. The fake smile looks different. First of all, the whole face isn't involved. The eyes aren't really involved. The eyebrows aren't involved. It's just the lower part of the face, the part that they can muster up the energy to activate. And they even may be showing their teeth. They may have a big smile, but look at their eyes and see if their eyes are smiling. People who smile genuinely smile with their eyes. They smile with their whole face. Now, a fake smile comes and goes. There it is, and then it's gone. Okay, I smiled for you, now it's gone. The real smile lingers because it's real. It's got energy behind it. It's not just serving a purpose. It's not just being flashed. Hey, here it is. Okay, I'm going to put it away now. No, it stays there for a while. So clearly, one of the things that reading body language gives you in terms of advantages is lets you know about people without really having to ask about the people. You don't have to ask, hey, what's so-and-so like? You already know because you're observing so-and-so. You can tell all kinds of things about them by just observing them without having to ask them or anyone else. But let's look at specific ways that you're going to find out about people just to make sure you have these down. You're going to watch their eye movements. You're going to watch their facial expressions. You're going to watch their hands and their arms and how they gesture with them. Remember, when someone's hands go to their mouth or their nose, they're holding something back. Crossed arms, they're holding something back. They're defensive, or you've said something that they really don't want to hear. You're going to observe their posture. They're slumped over. If they're looking down, they're probably upset. You're going to pay attention to how close you are to someone and how close they are to you. Does a person get too close to you for that particular situation? Are they too far away? Both can be indicators. Too close can mean that maybe they want this to be a different kind of relationship. Too far away may mean they don't want anything to do with you. Look at how people sit. If someone goes into a nightclub, for example, and sits with their back to everyone, worse than that, let's say they put little earbuds in their ears and are listening to an MP3 player, these are obvious signals that this person is not interested in making contact and interacting. But if they sit facing other people with their arms unfolded, their legs uncrossed, this is an indicator that they're very open. So let's talk about specific ways that you can make some improvements now in the way that you're interacting with people. I've given you a lot of information about yourself and about others. Let's put this together in a format that's going to help you improve what you're doing. Because let's face it, you're going out there and you're doing things. You're trying to date people, perhaps. You're trying to get a job, perhaps. You're trying to make the best impression on certain people, perhaps. Why not do that at a level 10? Why do it at a level 4 or 5? Or worse, why do it at a level 1? Why go out there without any of these techniques? Why not use all of them? If you're going to do it right. Well, one of the best ways to get someone interested in you and to show that you are there and that you're confident and present and a great person is to be interested in what they're saying. Be attentive. Be a listener. Listeners listen and then they respond. People who just have an agenda of telling people what they feel or what they know, those people are just waiting for their chance to get the next word in. Okay, what you have to say is interesting. Here's what I want to say, blah, blah, blah. Have you talked to people like that? Are they annoying? Of course they are. They're not listening to you. They're waiting for you to stop talking so they can say their all-important message. That's really not going to develop any kind of rapport. Know ahead of time what you want to say. When you want to talk to someone, you should know what you're going to say. But you need to know what your body's going to say ahead of time. If you're going into a dating situation, know what your body is going to say and how you're going to say it using the techniques in this program. If you're going into an interview, know what you're going to say and say it using what you know. Remember to pick a role model. Pick someone you believe in and you look up to. Who is your example of outstanding confidence? Mine is James Bond, as I said. Who's yours? What about mirroring, an NLP technique that's been very popular for a long time? Mirroring means doing what someone else does right when they're doing it or right after they're doing it. And when I say right after, I mean a few seconds at the most. Mirroring is interesting. Mirroring means that you're establishing rapport with them by getting them to think that you're like them. Keep in mind, a lot of people know mirroring now. Mirroring comes to us from NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. And neuro-linguistic programming has been very popular in business settings and dating settings for a long time. You are not the only one who understands mirroring, so if you are doing what someone else does, they might catch you, or they might be mirroring you. So use mirroring sparingly. It's one of those things that's kind of leaked out to the general public. But mirroring means you're acting as if you are the mirror. That means if their left arm raises, your right arm raises. Look at yourself in a mirror and test this. Raise your left arm. What does the person in the mirror do? He or she raises their right arm. What? How is that possible? It's the same person. It's you. You raised your left arm. Why are they raising their right arm? Well, that's the way a mirror works. It's a mirror image. It's not exact. It's reversed. So when they raise their left arm, you raise your right arm. You want to look like a mirror image. One of the things that's really going to help you is practicing what you're going to look like. Remember I had you sit in front of a mirror and stand in front of a mirror? Well, I'd like you to practice walking in front of a mirror. Better yet, if you can get some video recordings of yourself walking and talking and so forth and not trying to act a certain way and watch them, then get a video recording of yourself trying to act a certain way, trying to act confident, for example, and watch that. Then watch your favorite character or person on video do what they do, walking and talking and so forth. See how closely you've matched them when you tried to. If you haven't matched them, do it again. One of the ways you can do this is just by watching yourself in the mirror. Another way, a better way, is to record it on some sort of video and watch it. You're going to get tremendous insight. Some people have a real challenge with that. They really don't like to watch themselves. Some people don't like to hear themselves. I remember the first time I recorded my voice. I got a tape recorder when I believe I was 6 years old. 6 years old, my dad bought me a tape recorder. I recorded my voice and I listened back to it and I thought, who in the world is that? Who's that kid? Who's that funny sounding kid on the tape recorder? Then I realized that was me. I didn't realize my voice at that time was so high pitched, but it was. So it was shocking to me, as it is for most people when they hear themselves for the first time. But get used to it. Embrace it. Learn from it. Grow from it. Use it as a tool. What about dressing for success? This doesn't always mean wearing a suit, by the way. And for ladies, it doesn't always mean wearing a nice dress. This means dressing for success in that particular role in which you find yourself. If you're a camp counselor who's also a lifeguard, maybe dressing for success means wearing the right bathing suit. Who knows? It doesn't always mean wearing a suit and tie or wearing a dress. It just means picking the appropriate clothes for that situation. How about acting in a way that will allow others to perceive you the way you want to be perceived? Maybe you act one way, but you feel another way, or you act silly, but you really wish people took you seriously. I remember working with a famous comedian one time who came into my office in Beverly Hills, and he told me that he was working on getting into serious roles. He was a well-known comedic actor, but he wanted to get into serious roles and no one was taking him seriously. Why? Because they had seen him for so many years doing silly things. And suddenly he wanted to make this change. Well, he was able to make that change, but it took a lot of work to convince people who he was auditioning for that he could do serious acting work. But he did it, and he still does it. You can too. You can have people perceive you any way you want, but you need to start acting the part. How about asking for friends to observe you? I took an acting class one time when I lived in Los Angeles, and it was very enlightening. If you ever have an opportunity to take any kind of an acting class, I recommend it. If you live in Los Angeles, I recommend studying with the Groundlings. That's where a lot of comedic actors get their start. I studied with the Groundlings and got tremendous insight into things I was doing and how people were perceiving me. But I also took other classes in acting because they're just so interesting and they're so fun. One of the classes I took was very revealing. We had to bare our souls. We had to get up there and stand in front of the acting group. This is a few weeks into the class, and we had to bare our souls in this way. We had to be open to criticism. We had to have the whole class tell us how we actually came across, how we looked to them, what we looked like, how they perceived our personality. It was very revealing, very interesting. And I'll tell you what, it can take a thick skin to stand up there, no matter who you are, and have people tell you the truth about what you really look like, about what you really sound like, about how you come across. But it can be shocking, especially when you disagree with the group. Sometimes people would stand up there, and the group would say one thing, and they would say, no, I don't think so. I think you're making that up. But it wasn't just one person saying that. It was the entire group saying, yes, you do come across this way. And the person standing up there saying, no, I can't come across that way. But it was unanimous, except for the person standing up there. Everyone perceived them that way, yet they were completely oblivious to being perceived that way. Asking people to tell you honestly what they think about you can be very revealing. And then you have room for improvement. If you want to change the way you're perceived, you need this feedback first, because you're working in the dark. You're not able to see yourself. You're not able to observe yourself as you go through every interaction, but your friends are. They're outside of you. They're able to observe you. So count on them and their perceptions to tell you what's really going on, the way the world really perceives you. You may be shocked. You may be surprised to find out that you're trying to act one way, but you're being perceived another way. This will help you with your silent communication with the world. Most of your interaction, as I've said, is nonverbal. You have silent communication with the world. This will help you improve that. All right, here we are at the end of the program. You have learned a lot of information. Now, not only have you learned what I have said, but you have learned what you have thought. Think about it. All of the things that I've said should have triggered ideas and thoughts in your mind. While those things were coming up, hopefully you were capturing them somehow. But if not, that's okay. We're going to take care of that right now. I want you to think about the entire program, everything I've said, And I want you to put down 5 points that relate to the program, either things that I said or things that came to you. 5 new points that you haven't written down yet that came to you during the course of listening to this program. Write them down. They could be things to do. They could be random thoughts. They could be thoughts about yourself, thoughts about others. It doesn't matter. Just 5 things that came to you while I was talking during this program. 5 points. Go ahead and write them down now as I'm silent. All right, you've got your 5 points now. Great. Now I want you to elaborate on them. Take point number one and fill it in. Write something about it. Write a game plan. If it's something you're going to do, if it's something about yourself, go ahead and elaborate on that. If it's something about somebody else, go ahead and elaborate on that. Whatever it is, fill it in. I don't want you just to have a word there or a couple words. I want you to explain what that idea was. Develop that idea so you can use it later. Do this now as I am silent for point number one. Good. Now the same thing for point number two. Develop it. Write something about it. Do this now. Good. Now point number three. Go ahead and develop point number three. Bring it along. Develop point number three to the point in writing where you can look at it later and say, oh, that's what I was thinking about. That was my idea with point number three. So it's not just a word or a couple words. It's now going to be a definition or an explanation or a game plan for point number three. Do this now as I'm silent. All right, now take point number four, and I want you to elaborate on that as well. Do this now as I'm silent. All right, last but not least, point number five, the final point in this program. What really struck you? What came to you while you're listening to this program? Write something about point number five. You've already got point number five written down. Now elaborate on it now as I am silent. All right, outstanding work. All right, so you've learned a lot of information in this program. And what I want you to do now is, as long as you're not driving, close your eyes and let that information kind of circulate around in your mind. Just let all those ideas float around as if they're balloons or as if you're an astronaut floating in a space capsule and everything kind of floats because there's no gravity. Think about your ideas like that. They're just floating in front of you. I want you to let your imagination run wild, and I want you to start seeing things fit into place. Now, at first, what's going to happen probably is that all these ideas are going to be floating around in your mind. But as your mind calms down, you're going to be able to put the pieces into place. For example, if you have a wonderful idea that came to you as a result of listening to this program, you're going to be able to take that idea and put it into place in your imagination. The wonderful thing about your imagination is it doesn't have any limit. So when you plan something out and you actually start doing it, well, maybe there are certain physical restraints and physical limitations that you're really feeling, like gravity, for example. But in your imagination, there aren't any. So you might think, what's the use of using your imagination if it has certain properties to it that don't apply to the physical world, to the real world? Well, I want to tell you that a lot of the things that you think apply to the real world really don't. A lot of the limitations that you think you have, you don't really have. You're just imagining them. Those are already in your imagination, but you've made them real. Why don't we take good things from your imagination, good powerful things that are actually going to help you, and bring those into your real life? You've already done it with things that are limiting. Let's do it with things that are great and helpful. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be able to have superhuman strength, but I'm saying that your possibilities are a lot greater than you think they are right now, and your imagination is the key to unlocking the door that's going to allow you to live in a universe where a lot more things are possible to you. So, what I'm going to do now is give you an opportunity to close your eyes. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to get out of your way and just let your thoughts run wild. All of the thoughts that have been coming to you while listening to this program, let them run wild in your mind and then start to see patterns, start to put them into place, start to take control of them and start to see how maybe you can change some of the things that you're doing and make your life better. Do this exercise now of just letting your imagination run wild with these new ideas. As I am silent. All right. How was that? Did you have a lot of ideas floating around at first? Maybe some strange ideas came in? Sometimes I close my eyes and I don't know what's going to come into my imagination because my imagination is open and anything goes. But what I often find is that the things from my imagination are not always fantasy. Sometimes they're things that I can do. I can find a way to make them happen. And if I didn't take the time to step away from my problems, my challenges, and use my imagination, I probably wouldn't have thought of the solution. So this exercise can be very helpful. I hope you use it beyond this program as well. Sometimes you can get so caught up in a problem that you just need to step away, close your eyes, and use your imagination and see what happens, see what comes to you. All right, I hope you enjoyed this exercise. So you've learned a lot of information about body language. I want you to start putting it to work right away. Start using this information and making it work for you. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding day.